Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. This is honestly just one of the points of this message, but God has used this passage to get me through some tough times for honestly about 20 years. And if I have misunderstood this verse, the Lord will show that to me, I guess, when I get to heaven. This is the only thing I've been able to come up with that this is what this verse means. This is what the verse is. Philippians. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, 30-some-odd years ago now, when I was exposed to basic life principles, I launched on this journey because, you know, every Christian that strives to have quiet time with the Lord, which, of course, we ask God to help us to do every Sunday, Transformational Church, help us to spend time with you so that when we meet those within our sphere of influence, they'll know we spent time with you. Well, so what time are you spending? Where are you going? And Proverbs is one of those places that you can go once a day, and if you do it once a day, corresponding with the day of the month with the chapter, you'll read the book of Proverbs 12 times a year. It's called the Book of Wisdom. And boy, don't we need that in today's age. It's the Book of Wisdom. Well, so when I come to this verse, and a lot of verses in Proverbs is like this, the meaning is not obvious. You have to think it through. Well, doesn't that kind of make sense? If it's the Book of Wisdom, they're not just going to spoon feed you. You got to put a little work into it. And so I can't tell you how many years I read this verse and really didn't get what it was saying. I agree that where no oxen is, the crib is clean. I agree that with the ox, you get a lot of increase. But what's the point? What's the point of telling this? And I believe that I have discovered it. I really do. You got to put up with some poop to get the strength of the ox. I believe that with all my heart. You got to put up with some poop. Now, am I going to start a national syndicate seminar probably with that? No. But will that change how you deal and mitigate and navigate things with people? Yes. And please hear me. We all have some. Okay? I'm not trying to be crude. I'm trying to be real. All right? So this isn't for you and I to get high and haughty and say, yeah, to get, you know, work out of this person. I got to put up with their poop. They got to put up with yours too, type thing. And a better word for what's in the crib is probably sin. Where the human is, there's going to be sin. But much increase for the kingdom of God comes when a spirit-filled human is there. But you still got to put up with a little of their sin. They're struggling. They're still learning. It's called sanctification. And while they're on that trip and you need them to help you do what God has called you to do, you got to put up with what they're struggling with. Now, so the whole point of today's message, I told you last Sunday, most likely, the fourth installment of this emotional intelligence message was going to be mitigate and navigate. And so we're just going to hit the high points. I've read to you one of the points of mitigation. We'll get to it here in just a second. Remember the definition of emotional intelligence for our sake of study here is being able to navigate and mitigate difficult situations and circumstances with calmness and maturity and effectiveness. And who doesn't want to do that? I mean, really. We're all capable of giving you a piece of our mind. We're all capable of that. What I want to know is, are any of us capable of calmly, maturely, and effectively dealing with the situation? Because let's face it, that's where we all want to get. That's where we all need to be. So, under the word mitigate. Now, you know what I did. I went to Webster 1828. This is one of the best definitions. I believe he did one of the best jobs that Noah Webster could do on this word. To alleviate as suffering, to assuage. Now, that's a tough old word, but this is what it means. To lessen as to mitigate pain or grief. This is mama with an 8-year-old boy that's got a boo-boo. He comes up screaming and crying, and what does she do? She mitigates. She lessens. She assuages him. Now, I saw this lived out in my horror with our surrogate granddaughter, Ava. Okay? Willie asked me a few months ago, why don't you go get one of your own grandkids? I'm like, look, that's not within my power, so I'm going to have to borrow yours, you know? And he was joking, and, you know, I appreciate them sharing. We had her at kitty camp. Dawn had her. And so she wanted to ride with Pawpaw Ben on the golf cart. So we were doing great. We were doing great. But I kind of lost my head for one moment, and I did not take note that she was standing and not sitting. I mashed the gas, turned to the left. Shunk, she twirled as she went out. And so when she hit with this cheek. And guys, I don't understand this. But when things like that happen, you see them in slow motion. Can anybody else? I saw it in slow motion. I saw her cheek hit the ground. I saw her cheeks go, you know. I saw spit and slobber go out. And I'm like, you know. But my first thing was to mitigate. What do, parents? Oh, come on, you're not hurt. You're fine. Come on, you're good. They ain't good. I mean, in their mind. I mean, as far as she's concerned, she's holding her head. You know, and of course, she's got a little, you know, little boo-boo now on her cheek. And she's rubbing it, and it was early in the morning, meaning 8 o'clock, so the dew is still everywhere, so this side of her head is soaked. I mean, it's just soaked. And so I'm washing her hair back, you know, moving it back. But I keep telling her, you're fine. You're okay. It's all right. You know, and finally she bought into it. And I told her, it's my fault. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Get on the car. Mitigate. You and I have to mitigate situations. Okay, what about this one? To make less severe as to mitigate doom. To abate, to make less rigorous. To moderate as to mitigate cold. To mitigate the severity of the season. To temper, to moderate, to soften in harshness or severity. To calm, to appease, to moderate, as to mitigate the fierceness of party. To diminish, to render more tolerable, as to mitigate the evils or calamities of life, to mitigate punishment. To reduce in amount or severity, as to mitigate a penalty. To soften or make mild and accessible in a literal sense. There it is. That's good stuff. So, Ben's version. Working to soften the blow or pain of a situation, bringing scriptural facts to bear to de-escalate the emotional reaction so just the facts can be dealt with. And church, please hear me. If you and I can just get to the facts, we can most likely work through any situation that hits us without emotional unintelligence. So, these are just little points. Pray through emotional until, I'm sorry, so this is, and let me back up here. This is if you're the mitigatee. I want you to think of employers and employees. An employer is the person that's in charge, and they can create situations that you have to mitigate. So you're the mitigatee. You're the person that this is being done to, okay? Pray through until emotional intelligence is achieved. Because your first response, and aren't you so glad that whatever happens in here doesn't have to come out. Aren't you so glad? I'm so glad that what happens in here does not have to come out. So you pray through until emotional intelligence is achieved. You put the oxen proverb to work. That employer is hopefully paying you well, hopefully. You're going to have to put up with some stuff to get that at times. You're just simply going to have to, that person is working for you well. You're going to have to put up with some stuff, whatever the case may be. Put the oxen proverb to work. Place yourself in their position. I think this is probably the most important thing. You know what God constantly asks me? Would you trade places with them? I haven't found a person I'd trade places with. And I hope you're the same. As difficult sometimes as my situation is, haven't found anybody that I would trade places with. I am significantly challenged with my own set of circumstances. I am blessed beyond words. Yada, yada, yada. I don't want yours, theirs. I'll pray for you. I love you. But I got plenty right here. And that has helped me. Because let's face it, to change, to keep that from ever happening, you would have to be them. So if you don't want to trade places with them, then kind of back up and realize I probably don't know what all they're going through. If I were in their same position, I might have done the same thing type thing. How about this one? Pray for them. Lord, please help them. Please help them. How about this one? Practice the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So now, boy, with that comes a big old list. So before you go complaining to other people, you're going to go to them. You are. Or you may even say, you know what? I think I can handle this internally. I'm just going to let it go. You remember that little proverb that we've made up here? If it doesn't affect eternity, let it go. How about this one? Place the burden of solution on the right soldier's shoulders. Do you have the burden of the solution? Then figure it out. Is the burden of solution on their shoulders? Then let them have it. Is the burden of the solution on someone else's shoulders? Then go to them type thing. If you're not part of the problem or the solution, you're interfering. That's huge. How about this one? Prepare for battle spiritually. You need to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read there. Place the responsibility of the problem on the right enemy. There is not a person in this building that is my enemy. My enemy is the devil, my flesh, and this world. There's not a person in here that is my enemy, and I guarantee you I am not yours. So let's don't make each other enemies. And then lastly, under the mitigatee, practice scriptural reconciliation. Go to them if it has come to that. Now, what about if you are the mitigator? You're the person that you have the authority to do something, or you think you have the authority to do something. Well, here it is. The one who is doing or saying something that others will have to work through. This is what you need to ask yourself. How can this be done in a way that will not affect others? How can I do this in a way that's not going to cause them to struggle emotionally? Am I in a position that I can make this decision? If you're not, please, please don't make the decision. Is this decision being made just for my comfort or benefit? That will help us to know where the golden rule applies. Is this a decision of humility? Can I make this decision in a humble manner to bless others? Pray for the best way to accomplish this where everyone who will be affected is aware. Again, the golden rule. Then point number two, navigate. Now, Webster got extremely short-winded on this one. To pass over in ships, to sail on as to navigate the Atlantic, to steer, direct, or manage in sailing as to navigate a ship. Now, we're obviously using this in the figurative sense. To steer, direct, or manage in any emotional situation. So, this is Ben's version. Maneuvering through difficulty with scriptural ability and emotional intelligence for a good outcome. Church, I want you to know, please hear me. This pastor wants a good outcome. I want a good outcome for you in any situation. So, practice mitigation. This is how you navigate. Everything we've just rattled off there, practice mitigation. Point number two under two, practice the golden rule. It's pretty well understood. Practice the eternity rule. We've already stated that one. If it's not going to affect eternity, let it go. I want to give you another reminder. Someday, just to lovingly test you, You may come in here and all the walls are polka dotted. Someday, maybe. Pursue unity and holiness. Now, we're going to camp here just for a second. I got just a few minutes to camp. Pursue unity and holiness. I want to go back to that one point that if you don't have the authority to make the decision, this is where you're going to practice unity. Go check it out before you make the decision. Practice unity and holiness. Pursue the kingdom work no matter the difficulty. Now, I want to remind you about church camp. Guys, we spent a lot of time as adults this week talking about all the things that we had to replace and what kind of a difficulty that put on us. The Licklider's spent copious amounts of time that they normally do not have to spend replacing pots, pans, spatulas, and the such. This pastor and his wife spent a copious amount of time that I don't normally have to spend replacing mops, brooms, fill in the blank. So we really don't want to do that again. We don't want this to be a yearly thing. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to do this part right here. We're going to pursue the kingdom work no matter the difficulty. We've got some difficulty facing us. We've got to figure out if we've got internet capabilities so that we can have ADT there type thing. We've got to figure out if we can afford some of the things that we can do these days with cell phones and cameras and things of that nature. We got to figure that out. Well, we're going to absolutely pursue the kingdom work no matter the difficulty. Everything that happened at that camp was worth all the difficulty that we're going to have to go through. I promise you. We're in a remodel. We're not seeing a lot right now, but it's coming. You're going to see a lot more in the next 2 months. It's going to cause some inconvenience. Maybe some decisions are going to be made that you wouldn't make type thing. We got to pursue the kingdom work even through the difficulty. Pursue the process of emotional intelligence. The outcome is worth the input. Expect difficulty. Meet difficulty with determination. Now, can I tell you that when you are in the throes, it's 100 degrees outside and nobody's understanding what you're wanting them to do. I'm thinking of Benjamin in the game time because I did that role for a little while. And you're in the throes of a difficult situation. And your dad says to you, meet difficulty with determination. That's not necessarily a blessing. All right? It really isn't. So you and I both know that when someone tells you what you know you ought to be doing, when you're in the throes, it's not necessarily a blessing, but it doesn't change the truth and reality that this is what you need to do. And so, church, I love you. I cannot tell you how much I love you in words. I hope and pray I'm able to show it to you. God is working in our midst. He's working in our association. I still haven't worked through this, so I'm not going to be... It may be a few months before you hear what God is doing right here type thing. But I had a conversation this week with a young lady that I had a conversation with 2 years ago that I had forgotten. And we were 2 years ago, right before she got picked up after camp, she was waiting on her ride. We were just talking about life. And she was a senior. She had graduated. And she didn't know what she was going to do when she grew up. But she had an idea. And so she told me about that idea, and it was something. And it was going to require years and years of college and money type thing. So 2 years forward, talking to her, she reminded me of that conversation. Yeah, well, what are you doing now? Oh, I changed my major. It happens. And then I asked her, well, where are you going to school? And she told me, I'm going to Missouri University, Columbia. You know what that did? That threw me into the whole thing of we almost planted a church in Columbia about 8 months ago as an association. And all of this angst came back, and all of this struggle of, Lord, why didn't that happen? God, why didn't you let that, you know, all that stuff, all that emotional unintelligence flooded back. And I just asked her this question. In your humble opinion, you living there, Jonah knows a little bit about this. We've had this same discussion. Do you think Columbia needs a good, conservative, biblical church? She looked at me and said, oh my. And then she said what everybody has said that knows anything about anything, if you will, when it comes to Christian worldview. Columbia is the most liberal place in Missouri. Period. More than St. Louis. More than Kansas City. That's saying something. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. So, I'm just telling you, I don't know what God's doing. I don't. But he's doing something. And I happen to be the state missions director. And so, I'm asking you to pray with me. I'm asking you to give us guidance. Give us guidance. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're asking you to come forward, give your heart and soul to Jesus. I'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar, whatever the case may be. Are you needing to mitigate and navigate? Ask God for wisdom. I hope and pray that you'll use this roadmap to mitigate and navigate. Here we go.